And today, even as we look at the sermon that is entitled Feeding 5,000, we would know that it is ever so real. Why? Because in this particular sermon, it is a very special sermon. We have sung the hymn, "Tell Me the Old, Old Story. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus." And when we know the impossible lies in front of us, and there are a lot of what-ifs, a lot of impossible situations that when we look, humanly speaking, it is truly impossible. But today we want to hear the good old story, the feeding of the 5,000. And this particular story is so powerful. It's so valid. It's an undisputed miracle that it is recorded in four Gospels. It's recorded in Luke, in Matthew, in Mark, in John. Why? Because it is so important. As I mentioned, it is an undisputed miracle. And we could see that in this particular story, the crux of the story is to tell us that Jesus will show to the people that He is the Messiah. He is the Messiah that they have been waiting for in a long time. For the Jews, for the Israelites. And that He is God Himself. He is fully God and fully man. And through this miracle of the feeding of 5,000, He authenticated through His miracles of creation. And this is a miracle of creation. People have not seen how God created the world. In the beginning, God created the world. Nobody was there to witness. In this particular story of feeding the 5,000, the people were there, and lots of them were there. And later on, you see, it's not 5,000 only, because 5,000 were only men. And if you were to count, include the women and the children, it might come up to 20,000 people. And they witness the miracle of creation. Creation of the bread and of the fish for them to eat. And was witnessed by thousands of people. And therefore it cannot be said that it is fake. It is undisputed that our Lord Jesus Christ is indeed 100% human and 100% God. So with that understanding and the crux that we want to see today in this message, we would like to launch into what scriptures will tell us. So we have read from Luke, and Luke 9 verse 10. And we read there, let's read together, ready to go. "And the apostles, when they were returned, told him all that they had done." What happened? They remember last Lord's Day, Pastor Lee was preaching about doing God's work and how the disciples were sent forth to do God's work. And they did a lot, and there were a lot of encounters, and they came back and they told the Lord Jesus Christ. And let us continue to read. Ready, go. "And he took them and went aside privately into a desert place belonging to the city called Bethsaida." Bethsaida, as you can see in the map, is just that portion north in the Sea of Galilee. So the people, the disciples, and the apostles, they have done their work. They have gone out to preach, which the Lord Jesus Christ has told them to. And now they will return, and the Lord Jesus Christ took them to Bethsaida. Why did the Lord Jesus Christ bring them to Bethsaida? And we can see in Mark 6:31. Ready, go. "And he said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place, and rest a while, for there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat." It's a time for them to rest. They were working so hard. And it's a time of retreat. It's a time to recharge. And they need rest. And the Lord Jesus Christ knew that. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ brought them to a place where there are very few people, a deserted place, a desert place. This desert place is not like Sahara Desert. It's not that sand dune kind of desert. It's a deserted place. Not many people live there. It's Bethsaida. And the reason to bring them there is for them to rest a while, because they had no leisure so much as to eat. They didn't even have time to eat. They were continuing serving the Lord and doing God's work. They were really faithful. So the Lord Jesus Christ said, come, I'll bring you to a place, Bethsaida. Over there, nobody. You can rest. You can take a good rest, a good nap, and maybe have some refreshment, and you will be there to recharge. But what happened? And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. They don't want many people to know. They don't want anybody to know. And they went over there privately, just on their own. They did not bring all the other people together. And just on their own, they went over there and they departed to Bethsaida by ship privately. So they sailed across the Sea of Galilee. And John chapter 6, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. So we know that they have sailed through that Sea of Galilee. Then you say, what is the Sea of Tiberias? We all know that Tiberias was Caesar. And Tiberias was Caesar at the time, and the Sea of Galilee was named as Sea of Tiberias after Emperor or Caesar Tiberius. So it's the same sea, Sea of Galilee, Sea of Tiberias, and that they sailed over to the other side of Bethsaida to rest, to recharge. Oh, but what happened? There were so many people. Let's read. And the people, when they knew it, followed him. The people followed him. How many people followed him? Where did they come from? Mark 6. 33. Let's read. Ready, go. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and outwent them, and came together unto him. Can you imagine that the people, they outwent, this group outwent the Lord Jesus Christ, who was sitting in the ship, in the boat, going towards Bethsaida, crossing the Sea of Galilee, the Sea of Tiberias. The people outwent them. They ran so fast. They say, wow, they are there. They recognized them. They ran afoot. They did not go by car. They did not go by horse. They did not have any other kind of vehicle. They ran afoot. They ran by foot. They're out of all cities. And you said that, which are all the cities? Remember, there are so many cities around Sea of Galilee. And they said, there they are. They are going somewhere. They are going somewhere. Let's follow them. Let's follow them. And they outwent them and came together unto him. They thought they were going to Bethsaida to take a rest. And then you can see that all the people were already there, gathered there. And let us read John. Ready, go. And a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. Why did the people run towards the Lord Jesus Christ and his disciples? And when the boat was about to go into Bethsaida, the people were running, and they were running and outran them. Is it because they want to hear the sound doctrine? Is it because they want to seek repentance? Is it because they want to seek salvation of their own souls? Well, the Bible said, because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. They were all coming for that miracle of healing, for that temporal blessing of healing. Yes. Many of them were desperate. Some of them were curious. their motivation was about the healing. Their motivation is not so much about the message of the kingdom of God, but their motivation was about healing. And if we were to publicize that anybody who would are ill, come over here, you'll be healed. And in some churches, with all these promises of healing and prosperity, yeah, you would bring in the crowd. Because the crowd is looking for that. But the crowd was not looking for the sound doctrine and for the repentance in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Lord Jesus knew that, knew what they were coming for. And what did the Lord Jesus Christ do? Despite that, in Luke 9:11b. And what did he do? And he received them. He did not chase them away. Oh, you guys are coming here for some temporary blessings of healing, and you're not coming here to listen to my word. No, he received them. And he spake unto them the kingdom of God. He took that opportunity to speak to them and healed them that had need of healing. The Lord Jesus Christ has compassion on them. It's wonderful. And we also see in Mark chapter 6. And let us read. Where did he go? And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. The Lord Jesus Christ had compassion toward them, even though they may come with different ulterior motives. But the Lord Jesus Christ was moved and had compassion on them. And when the Lord Jesus saw them, they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And the Lord Jesus Christ looked at his people, the Jews, the Israelites, and they have not even known that God has sent the Messiah to them. And God, the Lord Jesus Christ, had compassion on them. And he began to teach them many things. And that is what the Lord Jesus Christ did. And whether the people were seeking for that teaching, the Lord Jesus Christ taught them nevertheless. So we're going to see what happened thereafter. And we ask ourselves a question. Let us look at the crowd. And they followed the Lord Jesus Christ with their kinds of different motives. Some of them with ulterior motives. Some of them motives that are not right. So why did the people follow Jesus? Curiosity. Herd mentality. They find that, wow, they were coming out of every city around the Sea of Galilee, and they were running and outran the team and went over to Bethsaida. Curiosity, herd mentality. And many a time, we as humans, we do that too, isn't it? Especially in Singapore, and if there is some queue, and we start to queue up and queue and queue and queue, and we think that what good things that is. So curiosity, herd mentality, some of the people might do that. Some of them might truly wanted to know more about the kingdom of God. Bless their souls. And they came, and surely they would hear of the bountiful blessings of salvation that the Lord Jesus Christ would give to them. And some, of course, as written in scriptures, healing. They want social welfare. They want material blessings. They want prosperity. Sounds familiar? They want wealth and health. And therefore they came. They came by the thousands. And they came. And some of them came because they were looking for revolution. They were under the torment of the Roman Empire for too long, and the taxation upon them, and taking away their assets, and make them live miserable lives. They want to revolt. They're looking for a revolutionary champion. And they said that maybe this person might be able to help us. And let us look. And he indeed, he looks like and he looked the part. And we will have and make him as a revolutionary champion to topple and go against the Roman Empire. So many of them were very sick and tired of the Roman Empire. But so those were some of the reasons why they were following Jesus. But what about us? We ask ourselves, why do you follow Jesus? Why do we follow Jesus? Why do we want to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and believe that He is God and Savior? And why do we come to church? And this, you can only answer for yourselves. And I've heard of some people, not in our church, who say that I'm going to a church so that I can get more network for my business and for my career. And that would be a good place. So why do you follow Jesus? Some for wealth, some for health, some for prosperity. And why do you follow Jesus? So when we look at Luke chapter 9, verse 12, and we want to read that together. Ready, go. And when the day began to wear away, then came the 12 and said unto him, send the multitude away, that they may go into the towns and country round about, and lodge and get victuals, for we are here in a desert place. But he said unto them, give ye them to eat. So we can see down here several things. First of all, and when the day began to wear away, then came the 12. Who are the 12? The 12 apostles. They were there. Remember, they were sent forth to preach the gospel, and they were sent forth to do God's work around the Sea of Galilee, and now they are going to have their rest. And certainly, the 12 of them were there. And of course, they could not have their rest, because there are thousands of people there now. And the 12, when the 12 came and said unto the Lord Jesus Christ, what did the 12 apostles say? Send the multitude away. Why? Why send them away? Well, that they may go into the towns and country round about and lodge and stay. Evening is coming. It's getting quite late in the day. There's so many thousands of them. And so that they may get a place to lodge, so that they may get a place to stay, and so that they may get victuals. What is victual? Victuals means food. So that they may get food. It's already getting late in the day. Lord Jesus, for we are here in a desert place, in a deserted place. Yes, there may be grass around, but they can't be eating the grass. They are humans. And send them away so that at least they can have a place to stay. They can find their own place and get their own food. They must be hungry by now. It's a whole day. But the Lord Jesus Christ said, but he said unto them, give ye them to eat. Horror of horrors for the disciples, for the apostles. Give them to eat. There's so many of them. Give them to eat. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ said that. Give them to eat. So you can see that Jesus has compassion even over their physical needs. Our Lord Jesus Christ knows that they are hungry. And this Ulu deserted place, maybe they can't find food. Is there any hawker centers, food court around? Maybe not. It's a deserted place. Not many human beings live around there in that part of Bethsaida. And the Lord Jesus Christ asked the disciples, give ye them to eat? Well, let us read John 6, 5 to 7. Ready, go. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. So, here it is. The Lord Jesus Christ is testing the disciples. And he asks specifically, Philip, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this was a question to Philip. And Philip will, of course, begin to calculate and count. But the Lord Jesus Christ did this to test him, to prove him. For the Lord Jesus Christ knew what the Lord Jesus would do. So Philip answered him, 200 penny worth. Well, Philip had got 200 penny worth. What is 200 penny worth? It's basically about 6 months odd of salary, of an average person's salary. About 6 months salary. Is that a lot? Yes, that's a lot. It's a lot of money. 6 months of salary. So you now you begin to calculate in your mind your 6 months. Some of your 6 months can feed all of us multiplied by 10. So 6 months salary. But what did Philip say? Not enough. Not sufficient for them. Look, so many people, that every one of them may take a little. If we could even buy anything in this deserted place, and with this 200 penny worth, that about 6 months salary, Philip is portraying this human pragmatism. He was very pragmatic. He was just calculating and say, well, the reality, Lord Jesus, the reality is that you asked me to buy food for them. I have only about 6 months salary of money. It is a lot. But honestly, in my own calculation, it is not enough. In my own calculation, it is not enough. And it is according to Philip's own wisdom. It's not enough. But we should remember, just as in Zechariah 4:6, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. And Philip is about to witness, and Philip is about to see how God is going to multiply and how the Lord Jesus Christ is going to work a miracle of blessings to all these thousands of people. So, many a time in our lives, we tend to do our own calculations of what the future holds. And we look at something that is impossible in front of us, and we tend, of course, God gives us a sound mind, and we begin to strategize, we begin to look ahead, we begin to plan. And maybe we said that, not good, not enough. It is impossible. This is what Philip experienced. It is impossible. Even if I were to take all that money and buy, it's impossible. It's not sufficient for them. That every one of them may take a little, maybe a small bite, but not enough. So, what happened? So here we want to see in relevant portion of scriptures what the Lord Jesus Christ said to the disciples. So Mark 6:38a, let's read this. He said unto them, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. Basically, ask Philip and the disciples and the apostles to go into the crowd, go and see. Go and check out how many of them have brought lunches, have brought food along the way. Remember, they were all rushing, right? They were all seeing this whole thing and they were rushing and they were seeing other people running. They were running, they're out running. And guess what? They didn't bring food. They didn't bring food. Go and see. Go and check it out. Go to the thousands over there. Just ask around. How many loaves do they have? Maybe we can share. Go and see. So, they went to see, and suddenly they could not find anything. They couldn't find any food. The crowd was not prepared. And therefore, this further tested the disciples that it is a situation of impossibility. Humanly speaking, impossible. And suddenly, it takes away that argument that, oh, all the people took out their food from their lunch packet and shared, and that's why the thousands of them could have food. No, because when the Lord Jesus Christ sent them and check it out, go and see, they could not find loaves and loaves and loaves and thousands of loaves of bread. They could not find. And Luke 6, 8-9 gives us a clearer picture. Let's read. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? So when they went round the crowd, Andrew saw and found something. Wow, they found something. Is it a lot? Is it thousands of loaves of bread? He found something. So he brought, no, there is a lack here. So because the Lord Jesus Christ asked them to go and check it out, so they went to check it out, and Andrew brought this little boy, a lad. A lad is a young boy, which had 5 barley loaves. It is not your loaf of bread. Huh? It is not the kind of loaves. And why barley? Because that is the common commodity at that time, the common grain. And 2 small fishes. 2 small fishes. It looks a bit like this. It is not your big gardenia loaf or your sourdough loaf. It's just very dry, flat bread that for a young boy, it may even look like a biscuit. And it is maybe quite tough, quite hard. And the 2 fish is not your steamed garupa. It is this 2 small fishes, and most likely it might be dried and preserved. Maybe, you know, in our part of the world we eat that salted fish, but maybe it looked like that, but maybe not that salted, but certainly preserved, and I'm sure with maybe some kind of salt, and dried, preserved, because somehow when this young boy was running, he's the only one that packed a lunch. All the other adults, no food, no loaves, no fish. Only this one, this little boy, and had 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But Andrew said, but what are they among so many people? Thousands of people over here. This 5 loaves, 2 fishes? You must be kidding. So, let us see what happened. And let us read Luke 9. Sorry, where was I? Yes, Luke 9:13. Let us read that together. Ready, go. But he said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they said, we have no more but 5 loaves and 2 fishes, except we should go and buy meat for all this people. For they were there about 5,000 men. 5 loaves, 2 fishes, Lord, not enough. Maybe, all right, since you insisted that we should feed them, maybe we should go and buy meat for all this people. Lord, do you know how many of them? For there were about 5,000 men. And of course, we read in Matthew 14:21, and it reads that, and they that had eaten were about 5,000 men beside women and children. So if we were to total the number with women and with children, let's say conservatively about 20,000 people. All right? About 20,000 people. How big is 20,000 people? Here is just about less than 100. So it'd be like 200 of you guys. That's a lot. I know that today we want to thank God for some sponsors who sponsored lovely, delicious cakes that you'll be eating afterwards. and the Lord bless their generosity and hospitality, but to feed 200 times of this, you need much, much, much more than that. So it's about 20,000 people with that 5 loaves, 2 fishes. And the disciples said, should we go and buy meat for all these people? Maybe sometimes when you have guests coming, and guests coming, and there were only 2 guests coming, and there would be enough food for the 2 guests. Sorry, a few more. Let's say 4 more want to stay for dinner. What? You're going to stay for dinner? I only prepared for 2 of you. You quickly go to the kitchen, scramble up something, whip up something. This is more than that. This is 20,000 people. The 5 loaves and 2 fishes. How will it be sufficient for them? And we shall see how it's going to be like. So let's read Luke 9:14-15. Ready, go. For they were about 5,000 men, and he said to his disciples, make them sit down by 50s in a company. And they did so and made them all sit down. Do you realize that they were very obedient? 20,000 men, please sit down in 50s. And they all sat down. Will you? You're thinking that, hey, I heard that they're talking about distributing food. Yeah? But there's no food. We didn't see any food around. But they were all seated down. So obedient. Maybe the crowd is expecting some miracles. And you can imagine the disciples, the apostles. The Lord wants to say there's 5 loaves, 2 fishes. And we don't even need to go out and buy and ask us to get them to be seated down by 50s. Count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 50, sit down. 50, sit down. In 50s, in an orderly manner. Wow. And they did so. And made them all sit down without pandemonium. Without a crowd crush. Amazing. So what do you do when you face humanly impossible situations? What are the humanly impossible situations that you might have in your lives? Right now, even as you're seated down there, your minds must be thinking already. Some humanly difficult, challenging, impossible situations. Still try your own ways? Well, the disciples thought about that. Maybe by going out to buy some food, and even with the 6 months worth of salary, that maybe still try your own ways. We would remember in the Old Testament, King Saul trying to fight this giant Goliath. He was trying his own ways. And even when young David was presented to him, he still put on his armor onto young David. And young David could hardly move with that armor, that heavy armor that King Saul gave him. And try your own ways? Question mark. Maybe it will lead you to despair. And maybe it will lead you to distress when you face humanly impossible situations. Right in front of you, right in the future. And you find that, God, I just don't know how to deal with this. It's just humanly so challenging, so difficult. Like the disciples facing the 5,000, but now it will be about 20,000 people. Despair, distress. So we also see in the Old Testament, remember Elijah, after he had fought the great battle in Mount Carmel, and when Jezebel dished out a death threat to Elijah. Elijah was so despair, such in distress, he went into depression. He ran away. He said, God, take my life. I don't want to live anymore. Despair. Distress. And it could happen to us. It's very human. And presumptuous. Maybe we will be presumptuous to to think that we can handle it. No problem. We can do it. Example like whom? Presumptuous. Remember like Samson. Samson, after Delilah cut his hair. After Delilah cut his hair and the Holy Spirit left him, he thought that as it was of old time, he will go out there and smite the enemies. So presumptuous. Samson was caught. And his eyes were taken out. So presumptuous. And also, when we face humanly impossible situations, do we doubt God? As the problem is just too big? Oh, it's not 5,000. It's 20,000 people. So many of them. How shall we feed them with this tiny little lunch pack? Or even if we have to buy, that's insufficient. Doubt God. There was a situation also in the Old Testament when the people of Israel, the slaves, came out from Egypt and they reached this portion of the Red Sea. Oh, it is impossible, humanly impossible situation. And they murmured against Moses. They doubted because the problem is just too big. So, when we face humanly impossible situations, just like the disciples, when the Lord Jesus Christ told them, just get them to be seated, 50 in each group, and there are about 20,000 of them, just let them to be seated. Wow. I guess we have to trust fully in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to pray. We have to seek God's help. And the Lord Jesus Christ gave a very clear instruction. Let them be seated. By the 50s, by the 100s, let them be seated. And this is a testing for the disciples, even as they went out to execute that command by the Lord Jesus. They were thinking that, what is next? What is next? It is near impossible. It is impossible to feed all these people. Now we only have 5 loaves, that 5 round dry bread, flat bread, and there's 2 preserved fish. It's not enough. How? What is it? What will the Lord do? But nevertheless, they obeyed and left the consequences to God. So let us continue to see what happened in Luke 9:16-17. Ready, go. Let's read together. Ready, go. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them and broke and gave to the disciples to set before the multitude. And they did eat and were all filled. And there was taken up of fragments that remained to them 12 baskets. It's amazing. It's a miracle. The Lord Jesus Christ took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. It is impossible in the sight of the disciples, humanly speaking. It's impossible. But so far as the Lord Jesus Christ is concerned, now this obedience and the sacrifice to God, God is going to prove to them the miracle. And God will glorify himself, our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's interesting also to know that in this particular miracle, not only do the crowd look at the miracle, because most of the time they witnessed the miracle. Someone was lame and walked. Someone was blind and now could see. Someone has leprosy and now was healed. Someone has an issue of blood and now cured. Someone was dead and now risen. We've all heard about that in the past few sermons. But this particular miracle, all of them participated because they ate. All of them participated in this miracle. Jesus, the Lord, created the food. He multiplied the food. He created the food. And the disciples participate in this act of faith, not only in getting the people to sit in 50s and 100s, but then to distribute the food. And to distribute the food, it just go on and on and on and on. It is being created by the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not 3D printing. It is created from nothing. And it is a wonderful meal.
and we do not know how that meal will taste like, but it is from that 5 loaves and 2 fish and multiplied. He blessed them and gave to the disciples. You can imagine that if you were the disciples, you were distributing the food. It didn't end. It didn't end. And there were so many of them. And just now I mentioned about 20,000. And you divide by, let's say, 50. There are about 400 of such clusters that you're going to. And you're going to bring the food. It didn't end. I thought that there were only 5 loaves and 2 fish. But it didn't end. And the people did eat. It's not that they were staring at the food. This time they were participating and being a recipient of the blessing of that miracle. Thousands participated in this miracle of creation. It's such an intimate experience. They will be able to tell their children and tell their next generation. They'll be able to tell their friends. They ate. They know that they didn't have food, and they knew that the disciples didn't have food, and it's out of the 5 loaves and 2 fish, and they ate. It's real. And how did they eat? They were all filled. What is this word filled mean? It is an animal feeding term. Feed until the animal is so full. You know, cows eat, eat, eat. You think the cows will eat forever, right? Eat, eat, eat. Eat until so full that the cow will just turn off. Filled. Folded up, ready, filled. So when you eat until you are full, you say, you know what? I know that the buffet has got a lot of food there, and I can't eat anymore. Come on, just eat one more plate. Can't. It cannot go in anymore. That is the meaning of filled. And they did eat and were all filled. Not only one, not only two, but maybe the two. If there were 20,000 people there, the 20,000 people were all filled. So full until they say that, enough. Would you put some fish in your clothes? Some bread? Somewhere? Last time I know that I've got a friend who went to a hotel and then we were talking about boiled eggs. He said that, I have some. I have some. I said that, how many do you have in your jacket? There were like 15 boiled eggs. So, but they were all filled. They did eat and were all filled. And whatever that they do and whatever that they have snuck in, there was taken enough of fragments and remained to them 12 baskets. They say so precise. 12 baskets. Are these baskets what? Big, huge baskets? And remember, they were all in a deserted place. They were all walking around. They can't be holding huge baskets. It's maybe a little carrier that they have put their food or put their substance, put their stuff in. And so that kind of carrier, that kind of basket. But how many remained? 12 baskets. How many apostles were there with the Lord Jesus Christ in Bethsaida? 12. So precise. So precise. Whatever that is remaining, the remainder, it's sufficient for the disciples. It's sufficient for the apostles. Wonderful. Great miracle. Such a great miracle is so undisputed that the 4 Gospels recorded it. And so we can see that we do not want to doubt God. They say, but humanly speaking, I can't help it. When I see the 5,000, when I see the 20,000, I have doubts. When I see the Red Sea, I have doubts. When I see Goliath, I have doubts. When I see Jezebel, I have doubts. The what ifs, commit it to the Lord. Obey and leave the consequences to Him, because in His own ways, He will lead and guide us. And even as we've prayed for Mark, and to know that God, it is so difficult. the hospitals and the doctors and the nurses. So it is difficult. Put in all the tubes.
But by in God's own way. And God has granted wisdom to Mila to take him out of the hospital and nurse him at home. And it's God ultimately who gives the healing.
So how will God help you? In his own way and for his own glory. And as I said, remember the situation whereby we still try our own ways, like King Saul. David was anointed by God to fight against Goliath. And in God's own way, not with a great armor, but with the smooth stones. And not because of David is very smart in throwing the stone, but God is the one who moved that stone and hit Goliath right in his forehead and went inside, and Goliath died. And it's by believing and trusting in the great God, not in David's own strength and wisdom, in God's own way, for his own glory. And the despair, Elijah, afraid of Jezebel, and God fed him, let him have sufficient rest, brought him to the mountain of God, and spoke to him in a still small voice, and assured him, and strengthened him. And presumptuous Samson, but in the end, when his hair grew back, God gave him the strength. He tore down the pillar and killed all the Philistines, the enemies of God. And those people who doubted God and doubted Moses in the Red Sea, God opened up the Red Sea in the most miraculous way. And not only opened up the Red Sea, but swallowed up the army of Pharaoh, which is the powerful army in those days. So how will God help you? In his own way, for his own glory. Feeding the 20,000 to God is no problem, but to us it seems impossible. So obey God and leave the consequences to him. And God will help us adequately and abundantly. They had so much to eat. Filled until cannot eat anymore. Sufficient. Abundantly. His grace is always sufficient for you and me. Just like the Apostle Paul. And God will say that the thorn in the flesh will still be there, and God's grace will be sufficient for him. Be still and know that he is God. And that is important for us to remind ourselves on the Lord's Day, to refresh spiritually, that be still, to know that he is God. Trust in him. Remember how the Lord Jesus Christ calmed the storm in the Sea of Galilee. Be still and to know that he is God. And to feed that 20,000 people, be still and know that he is God in his own ways. And God created us unique. And yesterday we were studying in Young Adults Fellowship on this aspect of how should we see ourselves in God's perspective. And God, indeed, we are ordinary people, but God can work through ordinary people to fulfill his extraordinary mission. Just like the lad, the young boy, has got the 5 loaves and 2 fish. And we are all special in his sight. And we don't want to compete with others. And we are contented with what God has given us in our station of life, both in terms of our health, our wealth, and our looks. So please don't go to South Korea and do zing, 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 zing. No need. And here we know that when we know that God loves us and that God cares for us and that we are special in his sight, we will have that peace in our heart. And we want to remind ourselves in 1 Corinthians 1:27-31. Let us read this together. Ready, go. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. That no flesh should glory in his presence, But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. So focus on this, that foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God can choose the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. So trust in God. As you have seen this, tell me the old story of feeding the 5,000. So how do you respond to God's help? So let us look at the crowd. How did they respond to God's help? Let's read John 6:26. Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. How sad, isn't it? How sad. It is that the people sought the blessings, the satisfaction, the wellness, the temporal, the physical blessings, and they rejected the God who blessed them. This ought not to be. But the Lord Jesus Christ said, that is the situation. They came and they ate of the loaves. And why did the Lord Jesus Christ did the miracles? Is to show them that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Messiah, is Christ, is God. He's 100% God, he's 100% human. And that is what the Lord Jesus Christ is telling them and showing them, and authenticated that with that miracle of feeding the 5,000 men. So it's just like us. How do we respond to God's help? We wanted my aspirations to be satisfied, my way to be done. It is mine, mine, mine. It's all about my situation. God, you did not answer my prayer, because I ask of this and you did not give it to me. I'm bitter against you. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ said, not because he saw the miracles and authenticated that the Lord Jesus Christ is God, but because he did eat of the loaves and were filled. And what about the disciples? And let us read Matthew 16:9. Ready, go. Do ye not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000, and how many baskets ye took up? So how did the disciples respond to the Lord Jesus Christ? And this is the situation in Matthew 16, whereby the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about the leaven of the Pharisees. And the disciples were saying, is it because we did not bring bread? The Lord Jesus Christ said that we have just finished that miracle. Do you not understand? Neither remember the 5 loaves and the 5,000 and how many baskets he took up. And yet you ask me, and say, is it because we didn't bring enough food, enough bread? And of course, later on in after that situation, the Lord Jesus Christ also did the miracle of feeding the 4,000 with 7 loaves and some fishes. Do ye not understand? The disciples doubted. The disciples forgot. After all that miracle which authenticated Jesus Christ is Creator God Himself. Let us check our own hearts. How do we respond to God's help when we are facing difficulties, challenges ahead of us? So what did Jesus do after feeding the multitude? Let us read John 6:15. Ready, go. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. The Lord Jesus Christ is not there to be a revolutionary champion to topple the government of Rome. The Lord Jesus Christ is not there to continue to be made into a king and to provide for their every need. Now that the people saw that he could. And can you imagine if the Lord Jesus Christ meant to come as that revolutionary champion and that to make himself the king of the land and populism? Well, he would just stay there and let them crown him king. No. What did the Lord Jesus Christ do? He departed again into a mountain himself alone. And also in the parallel part of the scripture, he also sent the disciples away. And he himself departed again into a mountain, himself alone. So the Lord Jesus Christ there is not preaching about prosperity. It's not preaching about wealth and health. It's not preaching about populism. It's not preaching about consumerism to get the crowd. The Lord Jesus Christ is preaching the true gospel. To deny self, true worship, repentance, and you will have no crowd. How sad is that? So the Lord Jesus Christ said, don't make me into that earthly kind of king, the earthly revolutionary champion. He departed again into a mountain himself alone. He walked out of that crowd. He walked out of that great meeting. So we want to look at these things and ask ourselves this morning. My time is running out. So conclusion, Jesus is God. He is the Messiah. He is the Christ whom the Jews were waiting for. And yet when he came and he showed them who he was, and he showed them and authenticated with the miracles, the people did not want to believe him. And in fact, the Jewish leaders want to kill him. Bring your anxieties to Jesus and leave it there. Cast your cares upon the Lord and leave it there. Jesus will help you in his own ways. His way is always the best way. His way is always the best way. Amen? Amen. And we do not know what the way might be, but we say, God, I just want to obey your word and follow your word and leave all the consequences to you, because your way is the best way. And seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things that you need will be added unto you. Don't seek for the health and the wealth. Don't seek for the blessings and forget about the giver, God himself. And there is a hymn that we are about to sing that is All Your Anxiety. It was written by Edward Joy. He's from America, from 1871 to 1949. And he wrote, is there a heart overbound by sorrow? Is any one of you here, your heart bound by sorrow? Is there a life weighed down by care? Come to the cross, each burden bearing. All your anxiety, leave it there. In your life, in your journey of life, maybe you have come across in your life that you know that the future is just so murky. I could not see how God is going to help me going forward. And yet you continued on and you cast all your cares upon God, and all your anxiety and all your care, you bring it to the mercy seat and you left it there. And never a burden the Lord God cannot bear. Never a friend like Jesus. What a friend we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that all our anxieties, we can cast our cares upon him. And that anxiety, that care, your impossible challenges, like feeding the thousands, God will take care of it. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious Father in heaven, thank and praise thee that we are reminded of this old, old story. The feeding of the 5,000 and the feeding of many thousands, maybe 20,000 men and women and children. Father in heaven, just as the disciples of old doubted and could not see how this impossible problem could be solved, yet you have shown yourself faithful. And yet you've shown thy way. And thy way is always the best way. So Lord, we want to cast all our cares and all our anxiety upon you. For we know that you love us and you care for us. Through Jesus Christ, our gracious Lord, we pray. Amen.